Hey, Grove friends, it's Carrie Stanfill, and we are so excited you decided to join us today. Today's conversation is really special to me, as it's an intimate discussion between myself, my husband Christian, and our dear friends and pastors, Louie and Shelley Giglio. This conversation just felt like us in a living room sharing and marveling at the things God has done in my family's life, and specifically in Christian's life, as he just recently celebrated 2 years of sobriety from alcohol. Praise God! Through this journey, we have seen God be so faithful in our lives through the love of community, the freedom of submitting to help, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm confident that God has something very special for you as we spend this time together. So without further delay, let's jump right in.
Made it out alive. Mm-hmm. Was there a moment that you thought you might not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about that moment.
Moment or
moments. I may have had one of those moments earlier today.
Yes, exactly. It's a daily occurrence. Yeah.
But that moment, you know, specifically was sort of the culmination of just a lot of years of isolating, putting myself over here on an island and not involving anybody else in the process. That was, I think it had to do with a lot of things. You know, I think it was the pressures of life that we all feel, the pace of life, you know, as things get busy and there's more to do. And then, you know, we're having more kids and, you know, being a husband and a father, like you feel that responsibility. And when you feel all of that, there's a healthy way to deal with it and there's an unhealthy way to deal with it. And unfortunately for me, for years, I chose the unhealthy way, which was to pretend like everything was okay, hide from it, project an image of health, and then just try and numb the pain. And after years of that, it all came to a head in 2020. And I think a lot of people are tired of talking about 2020.
but it was real.
But it was real.
And the toll was real.
The toll was real.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a catalytic moment in this story because it took all of the schedule and all of the pace and all of the stuff that I was hiding behind. It took all of that away. So no more tours, no more songwriting. No more Instagram, whatever, you know, I'm here with these people. I'm writing songs with these people. I'm on this stage. All of that was gone. And like so many people, you're forced to go home.
Yeah.
And just, and I love going home to her and the kids, but all that external noise was gone.
It's a good cover up when it's around.
A real good cover up, turns out. Things started getting quiet and then other voices started to speak. And I started to look in the mirror and take a real honest look at who I had become after years of isolating and hiding and pretending. And I did not like it. And I knew it was unhealthy, but I didn't know any other way. So you keep going until life forces your hand and just stops you. And you learn about when people say, you know, in scripture, that God disciplines those he loves. Mm. And you learn about how true that is in those moments.
Yeah.
Because it was like, he said, you have to sit down now. Mm. I am your father and I'm sitting you down. It's time to deal with all of this brokenness in your life. Mm. And that was something that she sensed at the same time first. Mm. And she had journeyed enough and through all of those years. And she was at a point where she said, no more, which she is a strong woman, an amazing woman. So when she says no more, you go.
That feels fairly serious.
Yeah, I feel like something just, you know, changed.
Well, and, you know, I think like in those seasons, you know, talking about those years, I think a lot of us kind of feel like, well, what was really going on? And there was something about as a wife where I would see him and I like knew like something like is not in line here. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, mm-hmm. you don't seem like yourself. I would see him carry the weight of what he was walking in and I was like, this just doesn't seem right, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Mm-hmm. And so in 2020, when everything culminated and like you said, like life forces your hand, decisions force your hand, you know, time has come to really look yourself in the mirror. I really was grateful. Like, and God literally took me to Hebrews 12, really the day that everything kind of like our big conversations were happening in our home, and that God disciplines those he loves, but he, you know, reminded me through Hebrews 12, like, but it's so that like no discipline seems pleasant at the time, mm-hmm. but it's so that you may share in my holiness mm-hmm. and that it will produce a harvest of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, just for anyone who's listening or watching this, just to know that like the bottom feels dark and it feels hard, but like he's talking about when God says, sit down, like it's, you know, you need,
yeah.
like there's some discipline that needs to happen right mm-hmm. here. And it's not out of his disdain for us, but it's actually out of his love for us.
Right.
And to know that like when we receive the discipline, because there's a choice, you know, mm-hmm. like I saw a very clear moment where Christian was making the choice to say, I'm going to receive this discipline. I'm going to step fully into this moment mm-hmm. With my friends, with my community, with God, with my family. But to see that discipline produce this holiness mm-hmm. and this harvest mm-hmm. of righteousness that is coming about because of the choices to just say I'm in mm-hmm. I'm gonna walk in this and mm-hmm. and receive the discipline and then watch the harvest come.
That's beautiful. What a good
amazing
promise.
Yeah.
What did that look like, receiving the discipline?
Well, Carrie called two of my best friends and. I wasn't on that phone call. I'm not sure what you said, but basically said, you need to come over and talk to Christian. And there needs to be a very honest, just pull the curtain back. Let's figure out what's really going on. And so that was a Monday night. They came over. It was November 9th, 2020. They came over. We sat in my front yard in the dark and they weren't going to leave until they knew what was really going on. And then also we're going to make a plan. How do we move forward from here? And what it really came down to for me is that there were some unhealthy addictive behaviors in my life that I needed to address and uproot, not just in a topical sense, but really get below the surface yeah. and go, this is how it's manifesting. But what's way down here
yeah. Why?
That's feeding all of that? And I had never done that before. There were some really toxic ways of thinking that I had just entertained for years. Thoughts about myself, thoughts about my life, my job. And all of those things needed to be worked out. So from there, I called you at some point and I knew that I needed to call you. We were at a fight night here at church. And I think one of the I don't remember much about the night except for we were hitting golf balls.
Inside.
We were in the auditorium chipping golf balls, which was awesome. But the whole time, the whole like crux of the night was, who do you need to call? What mm-hmm. text do you need to send? And I knew I need to call Louis as soon as, A, because you're my pastor, but B, and maybe more importantly, because you're my friend. And I wanted to call you and I wanted you to know what was really going on in my life, both of you. And so I called you and we had a very candid, like frank, honest conversation about what was happening. And, and basically said, I need help. I need help. And when I thought the hammer was going to come down and I thought I was going to get, how could you? What I got was, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get any judgment. I got love. I got grace from everybody in the story, from both of you mm-hmm. and from Carrie and from these two guys who showed up at my house that Monday night. And, We can talk about that in a second, because that was a very, very important part of the story. But we started working it out and figuring out how do we get better from here. And I don't know if you remember this, but you showed up with flowers. So I called him. And the next day, you showed up with flowers at our front door. Just to, and no words needed to be said. It was just,
we're right here.
We're here. Mm-hmm. And we love you. And that was it. And that was the message that was delivered. And but that was the beginning of the healing process, really. So that's the moment I'm writing about and Make It Out Alive. So that day, November 9th, was the bottom. It was the darkest day I had ever lived. I think we had ever lived.
Yeah.
I think we were looking in every direction, and we didn't see a way out, honestly. And we weren't sure how it was going to end. Mm. But spoiler alert, we're here.
And I'm glad we started with you sitting
on the sofa. That's why so many times we don't take that step.
Yeah,
is because we don't see the way out.
Mm.
And God isn't really, oftentimes showing us the way out. Mm. He's just telling us he loves us and he'll walk with us.
Yeah. Exactly, well, and right. Faith is so exactly much required right. in every part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like sometimes when the bottom drops out, the last thing that we think we can access is mm-hmm. faith.
That's right.
To believe that there's going to be something yeah. there when I step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that God's going to meet me when I step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, mm-hmm. A lot of people stay at the bottom because they don't believe that the step is going to hold.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're going to ever find that out mm-hmm. is by stepping.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is by talking to Carrie, is mm-hmm. by having friends come over, mm-hmm. is by calling Louie.
That's right.
Is by doing the things that you're scared to death to do.
Yes. You didn't just have a few friends come over and then just call me and have me say, I love you. You got
process.
Help. You went and opened your life up to processes where professional people
Experts.
Could help you. And
that's right.
Yep, that's right.
And that's mm-hmm. a part of that story. And, I know it's a journey. Mm-hmm. And that's what this record, it feels like it represents to me, that mm-hmm. there are no simple solutions when you're way down in a hole.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's a climb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you made it.
You need help mm-hmm. getting out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that the record, comes out on November the 11th. Sadly, there wasn't a release date on the night.
So. We tried.
It's a Friday kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, even in that moment and looking at you too, Carrie, because mm-hmm. we've walked a lot of life together,
mm-hmm.
is there any way you could have imagined that 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
2 years almost to the day,
mm-hmm.
that you would be giving someone else something out of your broken places
mm-hmm.
and your hope for healing and process of being in healing that might could encourage them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I had stood in your living room on the 9th of November, 2000 and said to you 2 years later, this is what's going to be true. You wouldn't have been able to believe me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That was the last thing you could have thought about is that God can use this.
Yeah.
That he would even want to have anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the exact opposite
is
true. He wanted everything to do with
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And that he believed the whole time that there would be something beyond even your personal healing.
Yeah.
Beyond even the healing of your family.
That's right.
Or the healing of your job or ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew that you would be an exporter
mm-hmm.
of that kind of hope to all people that are in desperate need
good.
Of it. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
that's what I say about that.
True. And it is going to come out on November 9th. I'm releasing it.
Go to Louie's YouTube.
I'm leaking it.
It'll be there.
I'm leaking it on my Napster account.
Napster. That was a word I hadn't thought of in a minute. That's amazing.
What are some of the messages that you want to say to people through the music about the possibility and the promise of the journey? Mm.
Yeah.
I think first, I want people to know that grace is real, that it's not just a concept. I grew up in church, and I've been in church from as long, far back as I can remember. And you grow up and you hear about grace and you hear about the love of God. And you believe it and you live with that, but then you hit moments like this and you realize that grace can run down to the depths of whatever pit that you're in. Mm-hmm. And at that bottom, it was dark, but we had friends and we had the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that was holding us up. And there's a song on the record called Grace. And when all of this was starting to really crystallize and go, something very serious is happening right now, I would just lay in bed at night, and I know you can relate to this, and you just replay every regret, every careless word you've ever spoken, every past sin, every broken promise, every dropped ball with my kids or with Carrie. Mm. The enemy comes in the night, and he replays all of that stuff. And I would just be laying there at 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the middle of the night, just going, God, I've got to shut this down. And I was listening to a podcast, and I don't remember who said it, but they just said the phrase, remember grace. And it was like the lights came on. And I'm like, I am a child of grace. I am a son of God. And grace is mine.
Yeah.
That is my inheritance.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember grace.
Yeah.
And that song just poured right out, almost as like this defiant, like, this is my song. Mm. And it doesn't always happen like this, but I've slept great. I know it doesn't always happen like that. But that was the power, that was the weapon, you know, in the night. And then it's grace, it's the power of vulnerability. Being authentic with the people who are in your life and opening the door up for people to come in. It was the thing that I was most terrified of, was telling people the truth. Mm-hmm. The scariest phone call I had to make was probably to you, because you're like my spiritual father, and my respect level for you is massive for both of you guys. And the last thing I wanted to do was let you guys down. But then to walk through that door and to be met with, if we had been face to face, you would have just wrapped me up. Mm-hmm. And I felt that from so many different people. Mm-hmm. And so I want people to hear that scary step that you're so terrified to take. Mm-hmm. That is hell. That is the lie of our enemy saying, don't take that step. You take that step, and you're going to fall into an abyss of shame, and people are going to disown you. They're not going to want to be close to you. But God's way is connection with people and community. So that is another message that I want people to take away from. Yeah, connect to people.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carrie, I think you stood and watched Christian fight for his life, fight for your family, fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were pretty active in it.
Yeah.
You weren't just Christian spoke of the moment you told the truth and kind of put your foot down to say, this is the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have seen you since then, you know, just walk with him through the process of coming back to life.
Yeah.
Well, how would you encourage somebody that might not be in the abyss themselves, but might be standing next to or in a relationship with a friend where somebody is in a dark, dark place and they seem to be called by God to be standing there for whatever the reason is. How could you encourage them today?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was so much time where, like I had said earlier, you know, I would knew something wasn't quite right, but we would try to have these conversations and try and I would encourage him, or I would see some of these like, really like the unhealthy mental, like almost like self-loathing, and reminding him of who he is. And at a certain point, I kind of was just like, I don't know what else to do or say, but I really did just begin praying for him and praying for just a supernatural touch of God over his life. And, you know, there were plenty of times when, I mean, I would sit across the table with you or be on the phone with a friend and just say, I don't really know, again, like, what's up, but I know that I just need to be praying for him. So there was that season of, or seasons, like a couple of years of just this, like, the struggle of praying for him, believing for him, walking with him, feeling disappointed, rebuilding trust, having trust broken, these patterns in our marriage and in our life and our family. Mm-hmm. So I think when the bottom really fell out in November of 2020, I was almost grateful. I almost felt relieved. And making the phone call to his friends and just saying, hey, I need y'all like here. I need you to get in this and fight with us. And, you know, the amazing thing is that over these last years, like, we really have built incredible, incredible friendships with people. And it really was God's grace and kindness to be able to, like, have those people there. And I mean, when he's talking about like having community, I mean, I know not everybody has those people, but pray for those people. You know, like, I would encourage everyone.
You're going to need those
you're
people.
You're going to need, we all need those people. Need those people. If your bottom hasn't fallen out or you haven't, and we talk about this, like, it's not just, you know, a personal decision, or it could be something that you didn't, you know, inflict on yourself or ask for or choose. Like, it could be a diagnosis that you didn't want and your bottom could be falling out, or it could be, something was done to you that you just feel left sitting in a pit. But I remember feeling like, this is, again, like, God took me immediately to Hebrews 12. God disciplines those he loves. I sat in that and I just believed, and I knew. I really did. I was like, I've been praying for restoration, for healing. And I really believed that he was going to produce that harvest of righteousness, and that it was God's kindness, and that Christian and I were going to get to share in that holiness. So it has been a journey, and it still is a journey. I mean, marriage, life, like, we never arrive. I mean, Christian has always had just like the most amazing heart, and his heart has always been true. And that's one thing that I will say, like, who he is has never changed as far as like his heart for God, his heart for his family. But the enemy is real, and he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he was after our family. And I mean, being in ministry is real, and the targets are,
the cost is high.
And so I'm really grateful to be standing on this side and saying, not today, Satan, you know, like, we're still standing here, you know, we're still doing this, and I'm really proud of him. And it means the world to me to have watched him fight, not just for himself, but for me, for our family, for the church. I think we are all getting to be a part of the restoration and the beauty of it.
And I'll get to see the fruit too. You know, I love that. You talked about the root needing to come out of some of the toxic things and how it wasn't enough for it to be cut off. It needed to come out. Because from the root comes the fruit. And so unless you can get down there and get a better plant at the root level, you're never going to have better fruit. But I think the process that you guys have been in has been a process of uprooting, replanting some things that are true and right and pure and holy and that's righteous. And from those things comes the most amazing fruit. And God promises because he produces that that will be the case. And I think even in this moment, we know we're getting to experience some of the first days of that. I don't think we've yet seen what God will do. He's just getting started, but he's doing already more than we could think or imagine or even ask for. So isn't that just like God?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Thanks for letting us be a part of the journey. I mean, just getting to be in the process of making this album has been incredible. And I remember some of the early demos, listening to them and going, oh my word, Christian, it's like your voice just was like,
came alive,
released out of, you know, this whole new place. And I said to Shelley after listening to one of them, and I was like, I've never heard Christian sound better. And you've made the analogy a little bit about the record that there's times where you have, where you use your shouting voice, you know?
I think we were joking.
I ran out of that grave. You really can't, you really can't do that conversationally. So then I ran out of that grave. It was amazing.
You were saying, man, your voice in this register, it just, I said, I've been yelling for a decade.
It's the truth. Right.
But there is that place, there is that place where we do proclaim.
Yes.
But this record is conversational, but it's not just about the register only. You know, it's about your voice and your heart and your soul being true.
Yeah.
And free.
Completely aligned.
And you can hear it.
Yeah.
And feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the music.
Yeah. I'm really excited for people to hear it. And I think the turning point for me was getting some of that help that you were talking about and meeting other people who were just like me and realizing that everybody is walking around with some kind of, like we talked about, some kind of struggle or some kind of brokenness. And so as the songs started to come through this process, we started to talk about, feels like other people need this. This isn't just our story or right. our story. This is like a humanity story. Mm-hmm. It's a human story. And God's grace is for all people. And it just would break our hearts that people were walking around in that same place that we had been without any kind of hope. Mm-hmm. And so to have this conversation in record form and say, it may not look like it, but you are going to make it out alive.
Yeah.
Wow. Lean into the process. Trust it. I know it hurts, but it's for your good and it's for God's glory.
That's
right. And then we have the mountain on the cover right here.
I love that we have that little piece of art in front of us.
And somebody's been watching this whole conversation going, why didn't they move the paper towel off the table before they started the conversation?
That's a good point.
But in the design, we were very intentional with everything about this project and the design on the cover. This is the mountain that my grandparents live on up in North Georgia. And where they live is a very special place to me and our family, and a lot of memories up there, mm-hmm. a lot of amazing times. Mm-hmm. And I actually sing about my granddad in one of the songs on the record. And it just felt like a really awesome way to honor them, yes, but also just remember a place that is so good and so pure, where the love is real, mm-hmm. the belonging is real, the sense of family is real. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a little Easter egg in there. It's a little fun thing about it.
I love that significance.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for people to hear the record. I think people feel like they know you. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what you were saying, Carrie, Christian's mm-hmm. heart, you know, for God, for people has mm-hmm. always been so radiant. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people necessarily look at you as a superstar as much as they look at you as a superstar that they feel like is their friend. Mm-hmm. And I think that when people put this record on, they're going to be so happy. It's going to be like Christian Stanfill is in my den right now.
Yeah.
Christian Stanfill is writing to work with me today.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's not you in the car next door going, come on, let's praise God.
Yeah.
So you just sitting in the passenger seat going, you good?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Let me tell you a story.
Yeah, that's it.
Something I've loved about these songs and listening to this record is that it almost like grows in depth the more that I listen to it. And obviously, like, I have a lot of special places in my heart for these songs because we've walked them together. But listening to them, I almost feel like it's like this little seed that you plant in the ground in this record. These songs have like already in my own heart, my own life, like continued to like grow up bigger and bigger. Yeah. And I think these songs are going to be, like oak trees for people over time that they'll go back to and to remember like who they are, who God says that they are, the grace that God has over their lives. And it's been, I mean, honestly, like it's really like been a blessing to me having it riding around in my own car. So I'm excited for people to get to hear the songs.
Listen, if your wife likes it,
I mean,
you win.
Listen,
you totally win.
I'm actually a hard audience.
She is very hard.
If your wife likes it, you win.
A hard audience, for sure.
I love it. It's a singer-songwriter album, but there are lots of moments of worship on it too.
Because
you can't take the worshiper out of Christian Stanfield. No. So
the thread is definitely Jesus.
It's all worship, and it's all about Jesus and faith. Mm-hmm. But there are some moments where it turns right into, I love you. I want to love you with all my heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's also a Louis Giglio moment.
Oh, man. Oh,
He had probably forgotten about that. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up.
We had to clear it with Louis' people. It was very hard. His people are tough. But we were coming toward the end of the record, and we were wondering, like, what else needs to go on this project to round it out? And I was sitting in church after a trip to Nashville, and you were preaching your True North message, and you just started talking about the power of the cross and the resurrection, and what do you say to the enemy when he comes to remind you of all the things, all the lies that he spins and all the lies he tells you? What do you say? And I just hit record on my phone, just put it up in the air. I was like, I think this is pretty rad. But I love your voice and it, you know, representing your family and having your imprint on the project. And it sits in just the right spot on the record. If anybody had any question who the star is Jesus. That's and you right. say it right in the middle of the whole thing. And
I love that we actually have the audio from the message, which is really great. But no, we're going to use the audio from your phone.
Straight from his phone.
Way over there.
You know, we talked about that, Christian and I.
But we figured phone felt pretty authentic.
We did talk about
it. Keeping
it
real.
We did talk about it, but we felt like it was more in line to hear, you know, the dissonance of the keys and the, you know, the crackle and people moving.
A couple of coughs in the background.
Yeah. That felt right. That felt right. Yes, but I just love that you are, it is the gospel right there in the middle of the whole thing.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah. Made It Out Alive is the gospel. I mean, that is actually a great sermon title that I will steal and probably write a book by that same title. Because that's what I do.
Yeah.
I take great song titles and turn them into talks and books. But I mean, that is the gospel. We were dead. Yeah. No way out. But we, by the grace of God, made it out alive.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, thanks for making such a beautiful record. And I just love this moment. I mean, I think that it's so...
I hope people will hear it, but I'm really happy helpful. To have had it, even if they don't.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Because it was good.
Same.
Yeah, and we're praying. I just invite everybody that sees this. Well, I'm not... don't even know what season they'll see it in, but just to continue to pray, especially for you two as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know what it'll be like for you. I know I wrote a book called Goliath Must Fall, and I was really coming out bold about God giving us victory over anxiety and fear and depression and all those things. And the book came out and I was doing like 3 weeks of interviews. And I had a massive anxiety crash, like right in the middle of all the interviews. And I was like doing deep breathing before I was going into these things. And I was like hyperventilating. And then I'd be like, and anyway, so, you know, Goliath must fall. Yeah. And I think that's every time real. You kind of get ready to take the step, you know, the enemy's tries, you know.
Wow.
Good news is that we already know how he's working and how God's going to deliver us through all that.
That's right.
But
that's
we're praying for you guys in this season.
Thank you.
And praying for this album, but it's just going to be a landmine of all the works of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to usher people into real freedom.
That is what we want. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow. My heart is truly filled with thanksgiving and gratitude as I consider the redemptive power of Jesus. I recognize more than ever in this season that we are truly overcomers by the word of our testimony. Wherever you are and whatever season you're in, always remember Jesus is still writing your story and he's redeemed you to share it. Christian's solo album, Make It Out Alive, is available now wherever you stream or download your music. Go listen and share. I promise you'll be glad you did. With all this talk of needing people, we want to remind you and invite you ladies to come and be a part of our community here in Atlanta, Georgia on March 24th and 25th at the first ever Grove Conference. Visit thegroveconference.com to register today. Well, we love you guys and we hope you'll join us again next time here on the Grove Podcast.
Here's to the ones that you can laugh with. The same ones you ugly cry with. Here's to the ones you go to war with.
peace to the ones that just sit and listen and don't try to fix it. The highs are a little bit higher and the lows make a little more sense when you got someone in your corner that you know you can live it with. Yeah, life is complicated and our pride says we can make it on our own, but the truth is simple, we need people. Sorrow deepens and the bloom that joy has opened. And here's to the years of steady walking and the miles that are coming. The highs are a little bit higher and the lows make a little more sense when you got someone in your corner that you know you can live it with. Yeah, life is complicated and our pride says we can make it on our own, but the truth is simple, we need people. It's not always easy, it's gonna get messy, it's hard but I'm learning, it's necessary. If you wanna grow then you can't go it alone, friend, you gotta open the door and let someone in. You gotta let someone in. Cause the highs are a little bit high and the lows make a little more sense when you got someone in your corner that you know you can live it all with. Oh, the highs are a little bit high and the lows make a little more sense when you got someone in your corner that you know you can live it with. Yeah, life is complicated and our pride says we can make it on our own, but the truth is simple, we need people.